Now, Santa's Real is a Jamaican Christian podcast that is chronicled by Shakira Farron, popularly known as Na Santa La. Na Santa shares real events that have impacted her through audio reels. Some stories are told through her perspective, while others are contributed by real and willing souls across the globe. Na Santa's Real is targeted for persons who require real encouragement to overcome the issues of the heart. This is also for those who are in need of a platform and an audience to share real and inspirational testimonies. If you've chosen to listen to her, then welcome to the Real family. You're officially a real one. As promised, we are back and fueled with new episodes to keep you encouraged. Today's episode is from our brand new series entitled Struggling in the Skirt. We hope you'll be blessed.
Na Santa La. Hi, Shakira. I'm absolutely so honored, humbled, privileged, blessed. All those wonderful adjectives that you could think about in me being here to share a portion of my testimony. The Lord has been good, and I really thank God for this opportunity and for this medium. Yay!
Hi guys, so the voice that you just heard, it is that of one of my really great friends, and her name is Devita Dowling. She is one who will be basically taking over today's podcast. So for the most part, you won't necessarily be hearing me, you know. It's going to be quite different. It's where she will be sharing a testimony, and you know, in Revelation the Bible states that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. I think it was in, and we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. Do not charge me on the direct quotation, but in highlighting that, this testimony is one where I believe that when persons listen it, that they too will realize that they can also overcome. And in her sharing it, she's overcoming this struggle. And this struggle is one that it's not necessarily taboo or controversial, but it is one where it entails her beauty being, how do I put it? In her beauty being lost to then be restored spiritually by God, and even outwardly, because, you know, God beautifies the meek with salvation and so on. And in the same breath, it is to highlight that though you may be a Christian, though you may be doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, it doesn't mean that things won't come, that your health won't flare up, and you won't have challenges that persons might even want to alienate you and so on. So Devita, she went through that and more, and she will be sharing it. And I believe that there is at least one person who will be blessed by her testimony, because it's a powerful one. And you know, I just want to highlight more about who she is. She is popularly known as Sister Mighty, and she is the co-host of the Pentecostal Radio. Yes, her birthday is February 23rd, so I'm not sure when this is going to be released, but I believe that it will be before her birthday. So if you guys would want to reach out to her on Instagram at Sister Mighty with a, how we spell that? S-I-S-T-A-H Mighty, M-I-G-H-T-Y, yes? You can just send her a happy birthday and so on and so forth. Or you can just send me and I'll forward it to her. Yeah, she was born in Kingston and she attends the Bethel United Pentecostal Church in Jamaica, Ocherius, Jamaica. She's currently pursuing a Bachelor of Science in midwifery. And I must add, when I was asking her to give me this, this bio, this girl says she's in need of some money. So seriously, though this may come off as banter to say she needs some money, if you feel touched or so led to give her some money, then don't hesitate. Hit me up. I will get her banking information and send it to you. I must also add that she is a part of the praise team at her church and she's also an usher. And she has been saved for 6 years. Devita also mentioned that for the wife slot, that's pending. And I just want to highlight that, you know, it's funny how, well, it's not funny, but it's funny how in her recognizing that that's pending, she has taken it upon herself in her singleness to volunteer at her church to be a Sunday school teacher. Like, that's beautiful. And it opens up the part where I would want to share on what it is that some of you may, you know, can do in your singleness while you're waiting, because singleness is a time for the Lord. It's a gift. But without me even touching there right now, let us, you know, move forward to the matter at hand, and that is to hear from Sister Devita, Sister Mighty.
Like, beauty is a feeling. It really depends on how you are feeling, because sometimes in our limitations and in with all our blemishes, and I believe, you know, all of us usually do have that thing that we're not good at, or we don't exactly like, or, you know, we're not perfect. And so that is why I believe that we can't really look on one person and say that, oh, that person is beautiful because of, you know, the dimple or because of the smile or whatever. But it's really a feeling. And in addition to that, I believe it is based, in my opinion, based on your character, which is absolutely important. And that is something that I look for in a person, because, you know, sometimes it can have all the quote unquote good things, the long hair, the nice smile, the dimples, the nice eyes and everything, but it all comes back to your character. Is this person someone that will speak life into you? Is this person a honest person? Is this person a loving person? You know, those character truly, to me, would define what beauty is. On the whole matter of low self-esteem, to be honest, low self-esteem in my childhood years, looking back at it now, I think I could say that I did experience a season of low self-esteem, but I believe that I didn't really understand what it was. You know, sometimes when you are that introverted and that shy person, then you wouldn't really understand that it could be because you are not exactly happy with how you are, or you haven't found yourself. And to be honest, I believe when I was younger, I didn't fully understand much about myself, and I had to learn about myself. So as I grew older and as I matured, and I'm still maturing now, I really understand what the whole issue of self-esteem is all about. And interestingly, I've really evolved, I've changed, I've transitioned, I've bloomed. So I would definitely say that I've overcome. And in overcoming, I think it's really based on maturity and in understanding who you are, not just from a self perspective, but understanding who you are from a God perspective. So in that moment, when you understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord, then you can truly appreciate how He made you, and you can just go on to be in your one true wonderful self. Yes. So I got saved in my late teens. I was 18 years old. I had just started my time in college. It was before, 2 years before, prior to me entering into the university environment or atmosphere. And it was, I believe, a beautiful transition. And it was a direct call. I don't think even if I wanted to, I could reject that call. It was such a strong conviction. And I remember specifically that I was watching the whole crucifixion story, and you know, actually seeing, because sometimes you hear these things all over and over again, that the Lord has, you know, the Lord did all these things for you, He died on the cross and all these things. But when I actually watched that movie and I realized that, wow, like it really did something to me. But to be honest, the whole conversion was in the pipeline, was in the process many, many years before. You know, as the Lord said to Jeremiah, the prophet, that He knew him. I believe that the Lord did say that it's in His plan. But, you know, personally, you can really tell that the Lord is calling you. You know, but thank God, to cut a long story short, thank God that I yield to His call. And it has been a journey, but I really do thank the Lord for it. I thank God for it, because I believe that while I was in it's just amazing, because when you're becoming that adult, you're transitioning from a teenager to adulthood, I believe like it's like the absolutely best time for a person to give their life to the Lord, because there's so many distractions out there. And in giving this testimony in brief, I remember while in school, there was this individual, this young man that, you know, had a crush on me, and he wasn't a bad person. I admire him, but at the same time, the call, as I said, the call of God was so strong on my life. I really could not have been distracted by anything or anyone at all. So of course, I didn't really entertain that person. Yes, I kept him as a friend, but I made it clear that, you know, this is my plan and this is my aim. And to be honest, even before I got saved, I used to encourage him, like, and he was of a different faith. I didn't really understand the whole church thing and denomination thing, but I used to encourage him, like, you need to get the Holy Ghost, you need to get the Holy Ghost. And I remember when I went to camp that year, and I was telling him that, guess what, I got the Holy Ghost, and he was like so shocked. And I'm like, yes man, I'm in business. So, you know, that is basically it in a nutshell. My religious background, well, my mother, thank God for her, she was my mother was like when I was younger, I used to just admire how much of a dedicated Christian she was. You know, she always took me to church, and she would teach me how to pray. And my mother used to be the person that would literally wake you up out of your sleep. You could be dreaming or whatever. She would wake you out of sleep, your deep sleep, to tell you to pray. And those are the memories that I have. And I have a very strong, somewhat, for the most part, Christian background. But after my mother backslid, I think things sort of went downhill. But thank God for his grace and his love, his mercy, that he allowed her to come back, and in bringing her back also drew me. So I thank God for that. And my great grandfather, he used to be that person who used to always, you know, encourage us and tell us about the word. And he would be that person who was just always praying for us. So I really had that firm religious background, and I really thank the Lord for it. So, wow, what was my transition process like? Every time I think about the whole transition process, I have like two things in my head. Like in the beginning, number one, my hair. In college, I remember I told my friends that I was going to go back to being natural, and they really laughed. Like they laughed. They didn't really see the point of it. They didn't really see it making any sense. But funny enough, all the comments and the laughs and the mockery, it came like nothing to me. It didn't even affect me in any way, because I knew what I wanted. I knew what I was going to do. I just felt like I just owe God that much to do any and everything that I needed to do to just make the change. But on the other hand, I remember, you know, transitioning in regards to your wardrobe. I didn't have a lot of church clothes, so I remember one Sunday, my very first hat that my mother bought me was a red hat. Of all the colors, she thought that the red hat was like the perfect choice. And I remember I had gotten some clothes from my aunt, but the clothes that I had, like the combination, putting them together was just not the right combination. And I remember one Sunday, I went to church, and oh my Lord, I was wearing a red hat, a black inside blouse, a purple vest blouse, a yellow skirt, and a black shoes. And oh my God, I still have the photo, and each time I look at it, I really just have to laugh. But in looking back at it, I'm giving God thanks at the same time, because no, to God be the glory, I've really grown and transitioned a lot from that time. But it's just amazing, you know, looking back, and not just the whole, the physical transformation, but in looking back on the spiritual transformation as well, it has indeed been a journey. Did I literally struggle in the skirt? Well, as I said before, that physical change. I literally struggled in the skirt. Well, as I said before, that physical change was something. Not only didn't I have a lot of clothes, but for someone to stop wearing pants and to stop wearing all of those things that they're accustomed to and they like to wear, because you know, all of the things. But yes, it was a struggle. But I think at that time I didn't really pay much attention to my clothes. Of course, there were days that you felt discouraged. Persons will probably look at you and say, oh, you are, you know, dressing like an old person now, and you should, there's nothing wrong with, you know, wearing, looking good and all these things. And really, even, listen, before I came into the apostolic faith and in Christendom, I always used to admire seeing the apostolic sisters in their nice hat and in their modest clothes, and I used to say to myself that one day that is going to be me. I took God to the glory. That is me. So for the other persons who are listening, I believe that, or if you're transitioning from, you know, the pants and the shorts and to the skirts, and you feel as if, you know, you're not going to be attractive anymore, that is not true. And you don't have to wear a tight skirt, a short skirt, for you to be attractive and to look beautiful. You can still look very much beautiful, put yourself together, and you can look amazing. Wow, after being saved, if it ever occurred to me that the struggle will get real. Oh my God, I'm wondering if we should have like a manual where where we tell persons that, warning, you know this is wonderful, but it comes with a price. I think a lot of us came into this sphere, this environment, not fully understanding what it's all about. And honestly, I didn't know, it didn't really occur to me much that it would have gotten real. But you hear the testimonies, and you hear the talks, and you hear the preachings and the word and all these things. But I believe sometimes that what is being portrayed to us, or what is given to us sometimes, is the quote unquote sweet gospel, or the one-sided gospel, you know. And some persons will debate it to say that they don't really want to tell you everything to sort of scare you, but at the same time, either way, it's reality. You're going to figure it out, whether you find it out in the beginning or you find it out during the season. But
But thank God that even though you come to realize that this thing is really not a bed of roses, God's grace is sufficient.
Now, in 2018, I had an experience that was one of those testing moments, one of those experiences that really shifted a lot of things and really taught me a lot of things. I had just gotten back from overseas after doing the work and travel program, and I realized that there was a swelling on my upper jaw region, and at the time went by, the swelling kept on enlarging, and yeah, before I knew it, my image was completely disfigured. My face was completely disfigured, as if I had suffered a stroke or something. My face was not the same. And how did I deal with that? I probably could summarize and say that it was just all the strength of God. It was not an easy time walking on the road with that massive swelling in your face and persons staring you down and asking questions and laughing at you and mocking you. It was really a tough time. And if that wasn't worse, you felt so alone, you know. In the initial-ish phase, after finding out what the condition was, you know, my faith, I believe, was strong at that time, until, you know, the enemy started to put doubts in your mind, and I was all alone. I was in Kingston at the time by myself, and then, you know, during that time, I had really backslidden, because I lost focus, I got so distracted, and I felt so low, so down, so discouraged in my spirit. And basically, I just stopped praying and stopped seeking God, even though that is like literally what you should be doing during that time. But, you know, that's the thing about faith, you really have to look over or look beyond what you are feeling, or in my case, what I was seeing, and just look to Jesus, you know, not look on Goliath, but look to Jesus. But it was not an easy time though. It was not an easy time, but the Lord really, really was on my side. Looking back at it, it was not of my own strength at all. I sit down and think about it. So I'm like, how did I even go on the road? Like, a lot of persons probably would have stayed home the entire time, but after the whole coming out of the whole season of depression and low feeling, I realized that, you know, I needed to seek God. I needed to find out what His plans were concerning this matter and what He was teaching me, you know. And I realized that there were some things that the Lord had to clip off, cut off. And that's the thing about when we go through our seasons or storms, it's not because God just wants to take you through this storm for no reason. It is for a reason. It is for a purpose. And sometimes there are some things that is within us that we need to change. And we really won't change until we have come to a point where we are broken and flat on our faces. We have become so humble and we can only see God and depend upon Him and do whatever He says. It's like you have completely surrendered your entire being to Him. But it's a whole lot, and but I really do thank the Lord. I knew that there were some things that He had to cut off. You know, He had to cut off pride, the whole self-righteousness, if that's a term, being too much in self, or getting too much of self or about self. He had to deal with that, and I really had to come to a point where I could trust the Lord. Patience was another thing that he dealt with in that season, you know. But it was amazing, and even along with that, forgiveness too was one of the things that I had to deal with, because I was angry with a lot of persons, disappointed with a lot of persons, and forgiveness was one of those core things that I really had to deal with. You know, I just can't really remember having a lot of persons around me supporting me physically or literally. Like, I didn't see it with my eyes, but I didn't really understand that they were always there until everything ended. But I believe that the Lord really had was to hide all of those persons so that I could only see Him. Yeah. Word, right? Yeah, you have to hide all of those persons so that I could only see Him, because I believe that sometimes we sort of look to man too much. We look to man too much. We're looking to man for a word of encouragement, a word to, you know, that prophetic word. We're always looking to man, and I feel sometimes that the Lord is really offended by these things, and He really has to sort of bring us back to square one for us to really understand that He is the one that is in charge, and all those other persons who we have been looking to over the years, they are just vessels being used by Him. So God is just not, and He will never allow anybody to take His glory. He will just not. He is just that kind of a God. So all of those things was a part of the season, but I just thank the Lord for really keeping me during that time. And you know, I remember one day I went on the road, and some young men, when they saw me, they laughed at me. They laughed, like they laughed. And that truly, you know, all along, I felt as if I was keeping it all together, because, you know, not based on myself, but based on the word that I had gotten from the Lord. But I just remember that day, because for the most part, I sort of ignore the stares of people, because I prayed about it. I spoke to the Lord about it and gave me clear instructions of what I'm supposed to do and how I was supposed to respond to people. But that day, I was so overwhelmed with all of the emotions I was keeping in. And I left that place. I went to church and I started bawling. I really cried. And I remember a brother was saying to me that he was shocked that I was crying, because, you know, he always saw me all the time, and for the most part, there was a lot of person that came and say, "Oh, she's so strong," but it sort of annoyed me in a sense, because I'm like, this is not of my strength. This is really not of my strength. And not only that, but beneath everything, I was really struggling. I was actually struggling and crying out for help. But persons didn't even realize that, but they thought that I was holding it down. I had it all packed, down packed. You know, but I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that sometimes in our storms, we really do have to be careful how we respond externally, because persons are looking to us, and let me not say looking to us, but it's like they're looking on you as that example to say that, you know, God is keeping this person, so all should be well, right? And it's so amazing. I give God thanks for every single bit, every single part of it, that so many persons were blessed by just seeing me coming out day after day. And again, I am not bragging, I am not boasting, because there's really nothing to boast about. I'm just talking about the awesomeness, is that the word? The sovereignty of God, because he's the one that gives the strength. I'm just talking about how we should just, oh my God, I can't even express it. We should just allow God to just have his way in our lives, because if we break, then persons are just going to basically lose hope and lose faith, you know. So in as much as the storm is, the fire is so hot, it's blazing, guess what, there's someone out there that is watching you. And when I say watching you, it's not a self thing, but they're looking to you as that example. And you just have to be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, but be strong in the Lord, because the Lord is definitely, without a doubt, especially when he gives that word, that rhema of assurance. You know, I believe for the most part, I was so confident and so at ease was because I got that rhema. I got that firm, solid word from God, and nobody at all could take that word from me. Nobody at all. When God said it is well, I believed it down to the T. I believed it, and I knew that it was a season, and one day, my grandmother would say that no storm lasts forever. One day, it is going to come to an end. It may seem long, but it's not forever, my friend. Trust me. When it all ended, I'm like, seriously? So to anyone that may be experiencing or will one day experience sickness or low self-esteem, I would definitely encourage you to seek the Lord with your entire being. Seek him for his will. What is his will for you, especially in that season? And don't be afraid to speak to someone when you are going through your low moments, because the low moments are going to come. And also, sometimes you will have to learn to encourage yourself, because people are not always going to be around you. But you have to remember that word that the Lord gave you, that rhema that he spoke, that he impressed upon your heart, that, you know, was laid upon you, that was given to you. You have to remember that word. No one can take that word away from you. And God will not, his word will not return to him void. His promises are sure. So you can stand upon that firm and solid foundation, right? So seek him, encourage yourself, ask for help when you need help, and remember the word of the Lord. It is going to help you. It is going to keep you. It's not of yourself, not of your strength, but it's the strength that the Lord will give you. That is the only way that you're going to make it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this moment, for this opportunity, for this program, for the moments, for the season, for the storms that you brought us through. Mighty God, it was tough, it was rough, but you kept us, and your word stand sure, mighty God, and will always and will forever stand sure. Mighty God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that as we exit our storm, we enter into our storm, and we are currently in our storms, mighty God, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that we will remember your word, remember the rhema that you have given unto us. We will not cease from seeking your face, mighty God. We will pray, Lord Jesus Christ, and we will worship you, Lord God, in the midst of all, Lord God Almighty, all the winds and the waves, knowing, Lord God Almighty, that you are able to say, peace, be still. Mighty God, I pray for every person who is listening, oh God Almighty, this broadcast right now, and for the person who is going through their storm of sickness, Lord God Almighty, their storm, Lord Jesus Christ, of pain. Mighty God, I speak, Lord God Almighty, into the spirit of such a one, mighty God, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will heal, Lord God, you will strengthen, you will deliver. Mighty God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will not, oh God, exit our storms prematurely until we have learned, until, Lord God Almighty, we have been formed the way you want us to be formed. Mighty God, have thine own way, Lord Jesus Christ, within our lives. God, we trust you enough, Lord God Almighty, and we know, Jesus, that you are able, well able, mighty God. Whatever you do, Lord Jesus Christ, it is well done, mighty God. You are too wise to do wrong, and you are too perfect, Lord Jesus Christ, to make a mistake. Mighty God, we offer ourselves to you, Lord Jesus, and we pray and we ask that your perfect will, Lord Jesus, be done in our lives, so that others may see your goodness, Lord God, and come to know you, which is in heaven. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Devita, for sharing on today's episode. Indeed, I was actually really, really, really blessed. And I do believe that at least one person has been blessed by what you've shared. Certainly, we see where when we're going through our sicknesses or attitudes, they're really important, because persons are looking at us. So you've actually showed us that, and you've made us recognize that every sickness, it has a purpose. And I just want to say to everyone that
listen, after DeVita showed up, you know, she didn't really delve deeply into it, but she did a surgery, and after she showed up, she was so beautiful, to be honest. She, DeVita, I will have to share this. She looked way better than how she looked before everything. Like, God actually beautified her. And I just want to share this song to close us off. It's called Beautiful by Molly Music. And DeVita, it expresses how I feel towards you. You know, you're beautiful. And I put my lighter up for you because you did well. You did well. And I am truly happy that the process, it didn't deter you from your purpose. It was all in God's work. So you're beautiful, and I put my lighter up for you. Note briefly, I do not own the rights to this song. It is done by Molly Music. Thank you again, everyone, for listening to today's episode. And I just want to say special thanks to everyone who listened in for the very first time. You know, we have a tradition that whenever you listen for the first time, you're therefore, or thereby rather, a part of the real family. You're now a real one. So welcome to our global family. And I must also add that to those who feel compelled to also share their testimonies, that you can actually do so. I have no objection. You can send me a DM on Instagram at NasantaReal and we can sort that out. Also, if you're not an Instagram person, you can send me a WhatsApp message at 876-505-2993. Because, you know, we need to touch all nations. We need to get the testimonies out. So don't hesitate to hit me up. Do I have anything else to add? No. This outro is so free-flowing. So yeah, we made it to the end, and I look forward to hearing your reviews and senior DMs and everything. This is where I say it's been real, and I am signing out. Listen to my trademark goat. Oh, by the way, to everyone who has been listening, you know, consistently to this reel, a big thumbs up to you. We couldn't have been as successful as we are without you. So, you know, I love you. Thank you for being real. Listen for my goat now.